Well, friends, Tulip, thank you so much for that incredibly kind introduction. And don't you think Tulip will make a great Member of Parliament, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. I want to begin by saying something about the horrifying situation that we see unfolding in Israel and Gaza today and over the last few weeks. I speak as a friend of Israel and a friend of the Palestinian people. This began with the murder of three Israeli teenagers, the start of this cycle of violence. That was an appalling and brutal act. The rocket attacks by Hamas from Gaza are unjustifiable, outrageous, and an act of terror. I defend Israel's right to defend itself and its people against these attacks. But friends, I simply cannot justify what we are seeing unfolding in Gaza, the mounting death toll of innocent Palestinian civilians. That's why we opposed the latest Israeli incursion into Gaza, because despite the extreme provocation from Hamas, we feared it would lead to the further deaths of the innocent, it would fail to act as a deterrent, and it would simply risk recruiting more people to the cause of Hamas. The tragedy yesterday at the UN school is a horrific example of precisely what we feared: the death, destruction, and mayhem resulting from the escalation of the violence. And now it seems as if it may be spreading to East Jerusalem and the West Bank. This is a cycle of violence that has spiraled out of control. Hundreds of people have died, and with every hour, the casualties mount. The international community must be allowed immediate access to provide medical assistance to the wounded. And in the longer term, we need reconstruction of destroyed homes, hospitals, schools and infrastructure. But above all, both sides must realize there can be no military solution to this conflict. I urge them to take a step back and return to a different logic, the logic of ceasefire, de-escalation, and end to the killing. And Europe also has a responsibility to support the United States in seeking that ceasefire and meaningful negotiations around a two-state solution, which we know is essential and the only right route to securing security for Israel and a viable state for the Palestinian people. And friends, I promise you this: this Labour Party will always strive to play its part in seeking to secure peace and justice in the Middle East. Now, friends, I'm here to launch today our summer campaign. We're in the middle of the last summer before the next general election. By this time next year, that election will have been fought. Today, Labour launches its summer campaign about the choice between ourselves and the Tories, the failure of 4 years of this government, the threat of another 5 years of David Cameron, and the positive vision of the future from Labour. Members of the Shadow Cabinet will be out in this summer talking about the choice. It's good today's figures show the economy is growing, but it is wrong to believe that everything is fixed. Far from it. There are deep problems that began before the recession and won't be fixed by this recovery. For so many people in this country, their hard work isn't being rewarded. So next year, we will have a choice between a Labour government determined to change an economy that works only for a few, against a Tory government that simply doesn't understand the scale of the challenge. A choice between a Labour government that believes that the way a country succeeds is with the talents of all, against a Tory government that thinks the only people who create the wealth are a few at the top. A choice between a Labour government determined to restore the right values to our National Health Service against a Tory government that will let our NHS fall into decline and disrepair. And a choice between a Labour government that will make our country work for ordinary families once again against a Tory government that will look out only for the few. Friends, 4 years ago, when we set out on this journey, people said we couldn't be a one-term opposition. But because of the unity we have shown, the programme we have developed, we are in a position to win the next general election. But to do that, we have to recognise something. Our real opponent isn't simply the Tories. It's something different. You know, nobody I've met on the doorstep says, I'm really excited about the chance to keep the Tory government in power. That is not our challenge. Our challenge is bigger. Our biggest obstacle isn't the Conservative Party. It is cynicism. It is the belief that nobody can make a difference, that all politics is the same. And today I want to talk about why a certain style of leadership feeds that cynicism. And I want to argue that we need a new type of leadership in this country. Let me start with what you know. When you go out on the doorstep and hear people's anger, it's not about you, the people who knock on the doors. When people say, you're all the same, you're in it for yourself, doesn't matter who I vote for, you don't care about my life, they're not talking about you. They're talking about us. They're talking about the politicians, our motivation, our way of doing things, and what matters to us. Millions of people think that for us as politicians, it is actually all about us. That we are in it for ourselves, for our own success, not the country's success. Now, there are lots of reasons why people think that. But I think a lot of it comes down to the difference people see between what they value in their own life and what modern politics seems to care about. They believe we value posturing more than principle, good photos or sound bites more than a decent policy, image more than ideas. And when you think about it, it's no surprise that people think that. Because so often the terms of trade of politics, the way it is discussed and rated, has become about the manufactured, the polished, the presentational. Politics is often played out as a game of showbiz, a game about who is up and who is down, rather than the best chance people have of changing their lives. Now, of course, this isn't new, but it has got worse. Politicians have fueled it, the media feed it. At Prime Minister's questions, we keep score, like a football match. When Tory women get appointed to the cabinet, they are said to be walking down the Downing Street catwalk. It's true. And things are judged far more often on style than substance. But this political culture, this photo op politics, denies people a debate about what really matters, and it does deep harm to our country. It leaves politics as a game that fewer and fewer people are watching or believing. And let's face up to it, fewer and fewer people are watching or believing. Because people's sense of the artificiality, the triviality, the superficiality of politics is more highly tuned than ever. And the more it seems that this is what matters to us, the more the public are put off. Unless we stand up now and say that we want to offer people something different, more and more people will, in my view, simply turn away, assuming that it has simply become about celebrity, and C-list celebrity at that. And if we allow it to continue to happen, we will rob people of the debate that they really deserve about the things that matter. But here's the good news. I'm determined that at the next election, we don't just have a choice about policy. We have a choice about the kind of leadership that Britain can have. David Cameron is a very sophisticated and successful exponent of a politics driven by image. I'm not going to be able to compete with that. And I don't intend to. I want to offer something different. He made his name as leader of the opposition with some fantastic photos. And we all remember them, don't we? Like hugging the Huskies. Today, I congratulate him for that photo. Even my biggest supporters would say, I haven't matched him on that. And I've come to realize that there are two reasons why. First, it's not what I care most about. And second, it's not just that I haven't tried. I think you know what I'm going to say next. It's not where my talents lie, as you may have noticed. Of course, image and picture matters and count for all of us, and always will. They are part of our politics, and they will always remain so. And I have a team who work for me on these things, and believe me, they do their best. But look, you know and I know, I'm not from central casting. You can find people who are more square-jawed, more chiseled, who look less like Wallace. And I even believe that you could probably find people who look better eating a bacon sandwich. If you want the politician from central casting, it's just not me, it's the other guy. And if you want a politician who thinks a good photo is the most important thing, then don't vote for me, because I don't. But here's the thing. I believe that people would quite like somebody to stand up and say, there is more to politics than the photo op. And that culture... And that culture diminishes our politics more than ever because of the serious issues the British people are facing in their lives, that the world is facing. So today I want to address what matters to me. What do we really need in our leaders? And the answer, you know, doesn't actually start with the politicians and how we look. See, that's the thing about photo op politics. When you stop and think about it, it is all about us. And it isn't about you. If politics is going to respond to the distrust people feel, it must start by talking about the things that matter to you, about whether your work will enable you to make ends meet and have a better future for yourself and your family, about whether your kids will have a better life than you, about whether we can overcome the deep divisions and inequalities that scar our country. Britain needs leadership that can help answer these questions. The current guy might take a good picture, but he can't build a country that works for you. It's not what he cares most about, and you are not who he stands up for. So here's what I think matters. The leadership that Britain needs, the leadership you need, is one that has big ideas to change things, with a sense of principle which will stick to those beliefs even when it's hard, and with the decency and empathy to reach out to people from all backgrounds and all walks of life. For me, those are the gold standard qualities of what a modern leader should offer. And by the way, let me say right at the outset, I will sometimes fall short of that gold standard, but it is how I believe leadership should be judged. The first of these qualities is about ideas and deep thinking about the future of Britain. You know, I knew when I got this job that unless I listened to the British people and then thought about what it meant for the country, we could never change things properly. If leaders chase every passing bandwagon, they will be found out. They'll be found out in opposition because there will be no coherence to what they offer, and they'll be found out in government because they will twist in the wind with every passing pressure they face. And it is by thinking deeply that we have built our policy, our arguments over the last 4 years. The challenges this country faces do require big answers and big ideas, because making the country work for ordinary families and not just a few is a huge challenge facing our generation. Every country around the world is wrestling with it. Changing it won't be completed in one term of government or even two terms of government. Now, when I talk about these issues, and you may have noticed this, some people say the words and concepts I use are too long or too complicated. I know. Few people are saying on the doorstep, what I really want is responsible capitalism. And I know it is unlikely to be chanted on the streets. It doesn't make a great soundbite. But here's the key thing about the journey we've been on as a party. We have built our policy on serious thinking about how we change our economy and change our country. Our arguments about the cost of living crisis and the squeeze on living standards, our policies on the minimum wage and tackling low pay, on building houses, on vocational education, on tackling the vested interests that hold our country back. All of these are built on deep foundations. So my first point is that ideas do matter. Our political culture doesn't appreciate them, but ideas change the world. But ideas aren't enough. You need to stick to them, even when times are hard. Even when those who disagree are big and powerful. And that takes consistency of purpose. It takes principle. We all know it is far easier to stand up to the weak than it is to stand up to the strong. It's far easier to tell disabled people they have to pay the bedroom tax and give millionaires a tax cut, or to tell ordinary families that they have to make sacrifices, but it is business as usual for those at the top. But friends, if we're going to tackle the big problems we face, we need leadership that will stand up and fight for ordinary families, whatever the opposition, whoever it is, however powerful they are, whether it's the banks, the energy companies, or Rupert Murdoch. Now, of course, I don't always manage to do it as I should. Sometimes you get it wrong. Especially for people on Merseyside, me holding up a copy of The Sun was one of those days. Politics is a hard business to get right. But consistency matters. And that means seeking to stick to your principles, even when it doesn't seem fashionable to do so. Because if principle simply becomes replaced by expediency, then all it does is make people even more cynical about politics. The sense that politics is just a game. Like, for example, when someone hugs a husky before the general election, and after an election says, cut the green crap, or hugs a hoodie before an election, and then says they should be locked up afterwards, or says they're a compassionate conservative before an election and acts like a callous conservative after an election. So sticking to principle is hard. But principle and consistency of purpose matter. But even ideas and principles alone aren't enough. I said earlier that it was from the British people that I'd sought to build our programme over the last 4 years. If ideas are the most underrated commodity in politics, empathy and decency are the most underrated virtues. See, my true test of leadership is not just whether you look the part. It's whether you retain your soul. Not being dismissive or contemptuous of people, whoever they are, wherever they come from. Think about our ordinary lives. We expect from our family and friends an ability to listen, to understand our problems, our point of view. But if we expect it in our normal life, why not in our politics? Think of some of the worst things this government has done, like the bedroom tax. Think of the mistakes the last government made, like abolishing the 10p tax rate. Lack of empathy, understanding of what people were feeling and facing. That was part of the problem. Of course, people want leaders who can make tough decisions. But I really believe that making tough decisions doesn't mean you have to leave decency and empathy at the door. In fact, the opposite is true. If we're going to govern for the whole country, if we're going to get policy right, listening is an essential part of leading. Now, this openness to others, this style that I'm talking about, is not the style of leadership we've grown used to. or the style of leadership we celebrate. But it is what I aspire to as a person, and therefore as a politician. And it is what I would seek never to lose as Prime Minister. And why? Because it's actually the only way we can build the country I believe in. You see, if the kind of country we want is one where we look out for each other, and it is, then surely that's got to be one of the most important characteristics in politics. So big ideas, principle, decency and empathy. That's how I judge leadership. That's what I aspire to. I said earlier that more and more people were turning away from politics, and I understand why. We face big challenges as a country, building an economy that works for everyone, planning for a future in which our kids can have a better life than us, uniting our country. These things seem so far out of reach. They are huge problems, and they're not going to be solved by the kind of leadership we have just now. We do need a new leadership, leadership that thinks deeply and offers creative new ideas. Leadership that tries to be faithful to principle, even when it's hard to do. Leadership that listens and cares. No, I'm not trying to win a photo op in the next 10 months. And if I tried to win a photo op contest, I'd probably lose. I offer something different. Something which seeks not just to defeat the Tories, but to take on cynicism. And I know the qualities I've talked about don't just matter to me. They're not just about me. They're about you as well. They're the bedrock of this party. So let's show people we have new ideas to address the problems the country faces. Let's show people that we seek to offer principles that prove that politics can be about more than what is expedient and convenient. And let's show that we believe decency and empathy are crucial values, not just for our communities, but for our country. And let's do so, knowing something else. These aren't just our values, my values, your values. They are the values of the British people. Britain is better than the political culture we have. Britain can do better than this. So let's go out and show the British people we can build a politics equal to their values, equal to the country they believe in. Together, let's go out and show we can change Britain. Thank you very much.